Radio Daily for the weekend even.
Pardon me for making it about me again, but it's another day the DMV in Virginia just lets anyone walk in. Gosh, I hope it rains its full head off again like it did yesterday. Oh, Schadenfreude. Okay, I'm a bad person. Welcome to the 7th of October. With the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that knows exactly what he likes to do, just ask him. That there's podcast, he's Rich Siegfried.
What you watching in there?
Sex and violence.
Ooh, the good stuff. And hey, I'm the guy that talks to people until they decide they don't want him around anymore. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Isn't it amazing how quickly everyone can turn against you?
Or how long it actually does take, considering the jerk I am. What happened this fine day, sir?
I'm still trying to figure out if I keep doing it in the right order or not. In 3761 BC, the epoch reference date, or origin, of the modern Hebrew calendar, the proleptic Julian calendar. King Julian, what?
It's almost very funny. 1582, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day is skipped in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain. They'll meet us on the other side.
1912, the Helsinki Stock Exchange sees its first transaction.
1916, Georgia Tech defeats Cumberland University 222-0 in the most lopsided college football game in American history.
What? I didn't realize that the Harlem Globetrotters had a football team, but all right. 1950, the Peanuts comic strip by Charles M. Schulz first appeared in newspapers.
1958, the U.S. manned spaceflight project is renamed Project Mercury.
Did the plans change? They ended up going to the moon.
Right.
1959, USSR probe Luna 3 transmits the first ever photographs of the far side of the moon.
1959, The Twilight Zone, created and hosted by Rod Serling, made its debut on CBS. And I don't care if you know how they all end, they're still so good.
1967, the Star Trek episode Mirror Mirror first airs. In it, a transporter malfunction sends Kirk, McCoy, Scotty, and Uhura into a parallel universe where the Federation, certainly not our despotic Earth-centered galactic empire, exists. They, of course, didn't realize how stylish our goatees were.
1992, Disney's live-action feature film The Mighty Ducks is released in theaters.
1996, the Fox News Channel begins broadcasting, leading to where we are today.
1998, Matthew Shepard, a gay student at the University of Wyoming, is found tied to a fence after being savagely beaten by two young adults in Laramie, Wyoming. I'd like to tell you the world's a better place, but it ain't by much.
Most likely celebrated on Fox News. 1998, the science fiction television series 7 Days premiered. Or was it yesterday?
2003, the governor of California, Gray Davis, is recalled in favor of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who pronounces it California.
Actually, Schwarzenegger pronounces it the California.
True.
I don't know why he puts an extra syllable in there, but it's part of its charm. In 2006, Saturday, 7th October, two men, Trevor, whose eyes are sewn shut, and a lawyer named Art Blank, whose mouth is sewn shut, wake up in a mausoleum with a machine pulling chains tied to their neck nooses. Not sure which Saw movie that was, because they're all kind of the same.
2008, asteroid 2008 TC3 impacts the Earth over Sudan.
Same day, Complete Genomics announces that it will offer complete human gene sequencing for $5,000 in the coming spring, about 1/20th of the current price. Whether it has anything to do with the asteroid that impacted the Earth, I don't know.
2023, London, New York, and San Francisco were devastated by the simian flu. It was an interesting daybreak, though. It looked like a monkey to me. Birthdays?
Ayla Kell is 31 from the Omega Code and Make It or Break It.
John Morris is 37 from Nightmare Before Christmas, Andy in Toy Story.
Aaron Ashmore is 42 from Smallville, Warehouse 13, and Killjoys.
Sean Ashmore is 42. That's Jake and Animorphs, Iceman, and X-Men. The following, Quantum Break, that's the video game. Wonder if they know each other.
Nicole Ari Parker is 51 from Boogie Nights, Soul Food, Remember the Titans, and Black.
Dynamite! 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 Dynamite!
Dylan Baker is 62 from The Cell, Doc Connors in the Raimi Spider-Man, Trick or Treat, and The Americans.
Born this day, no longer with us, in 1885, Niels Bohr. He received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1922 for contributions to understanding atomic structure and quantum theory. And of course, I only know his name from that Monty Python song.
1894, Del Lord directed 36 of the Three Stooges films.
1927, Al Martino. Johnny Fontaine in The Godfather.
1929, Graham Ferguson, Canadian director and producer, co-founded the IMAX Corporation. It's huge!
On CBS, we got a rerun of Young Sheldon, United States of Al, or AI, Ghosts in a New Bowl.
ABC, it's a new station 19, and Grey's Anatomy. Then Jenny and Cassie realize they're actually working the same case as they discuss a missing person case and the mysterious truck accident, and a new arrival comes to town determined to claim what's hers, and a group argues about stolen money on a new Big Sky.
NBC, coming to you from Lumen Field. This Thursday night foosball, we've got Rams and Seahawks fighting it out. I don't know if the Rams are going to catch the Seahawks. They can fly.
Fox, it's a rerun of The Big Leap, and our kind of people.
Because spelling mistake, it says The Big Lep.
Yep.
And I was wondering if it was something about leprosy.
It's a leprechaun thing.
CW. While investigating a body on ice, Jenny and Donovan face a series of personal problems as they attempt to do their respective jobs on a new corner and the outpost.
Freeform, it's Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
AMC has Scream and Scream 2.
FX, two travelers are shipwrecked and a doll runs away from home on a new What We Do in the Shadows. That can't be good. That just can't be good.
FXX has a Simpsons marathon.
BBC America with a classic British film, Pulp Fiction. Does Marcellus Wallace look like a poofta to you? No, I don't think so. Oh,
I think that's an Australian term. Paramount Sorry. Has Evan Almighty.
It's the same thing. It's an accent. Sci-Fi Channel, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, it's such a good movie. CBS has a new Wipeout.
So we're going to watch the Lifetime Movie Network tonight, though, because Rachel's about to celebrate her sweet 16th birthday. She's got everything a girl could want, but when a shock murder at her party unravels a dark web of lies in her family, Rachel questions everything she's ever known. Lori Fortier and Megan Elizabeth Barker star in Picture Perfect Lies.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
When Jennifer and the kids leave for the weekend, Abby plans a romantic dinner for her and Stefan, who calls to tell her he is unable to make it due to army maneuvers, but it's Chad who takes that call and manages to use Stefan's absence to his advantage to get that romantic evening with Abby. Meanwhile, Jennifer and the kids get stranded on the road after the car breaks down, and she's like, look, I got the hookup, gets in contact with AAA to make it all work, though this is throwing a kink in her plans, because see, she wanted to have some good times with her grandkids, then, you know, maybe put them to sleep and get to a house party too. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
You've got mail.
No, wait, I didn't mean to call you, nor did I mean to insinuate that I had left. I was just trying to tell you, Chabby on a TV show I've never seen called... Man, TV was different back in the day. Sorry it took me so long to get it. I blame the fact that my brain has finally thawed out from camping this last weekend. It wasn't all that bad, but it did take a while until I could feel my face. Love and icicles. Oh, God, that would make good rocket launcher projectiles. That is from Drace. I was wondering why you were out there in those part of the woods at this time of the year. Huh. This is for your 28 September episode. Seymour Cray founded the Seymour Computer Company. He remembers how Dave Barry cited similar events. Stay safe, that is from Bill. Well, I either remember that, or I just stole another one of Rich's jokes, because that's kind of what I do. I'm a clinger. No, I know, I don't mean I dress up in women's clothes to get out of the army. I was never... in the army. If you've got something you'd like to tell us, by all means, drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, a voicemail, a text message. We'd love either one. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
I like to think I'm a Hawkeye, but I'm more of an Igor.
Hi, kids. I'm an astronaut. And when I'm not performing highly technical maneuvers on a space shuttle, I like to listen to the Accidental Survivor Podcast, the modern gaming podcast.
That's right, kids. 9 out of 10 astronauts surveyed preferred Accidental Survivors to Tang, except that it was mixed with vodka. You can find us at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com. Accidental Survivors. You don't need to be drunk to enjoy it, but it sure helps.
Hi, this is for a Geek Radio Daily. Sweep the Leg from Marty Sensei Cove.
God. Man, that guy is loving absolutely loving the return to awesomeness that the Karate Kid is currently enjoying. Good on you, sir.
Gary.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast-off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Oh, and the options they have to do that this week. What are we going to play, sir?
Well, we've got Far Cry 6, a tropical country known as Yara, ruled by a dictator who has instigated a revolution and is played, or is it actually, Giancarlo Esposito. You can get it via the Epic Store and available for PC, PS4, PS5, Google Stadia, Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, and Amazon Luna, whatever the hell that is.
Moon Glow Bay, a voxel RPG about operating a fishing boat in a small town for the PC. That sounds like your kind of game.
Actually, it does sound fun. Is it a prequel to Wicker Man?
Hopefully.
The Genji and the Heike Clans, a Namco arcade game based on the eponymous clans. The player is the resurrected, vengeful spirit of historical samurai Tiara Kajikiyo. It received its first American localization in the 1997 Namco Museum Volume 4 compilation and is available now for the Switch and PS4.
Doki Doki Literature Club. Become a new member of the school's literature club in this cute game. Make friends with each of the sweet club members and write poems to increase your bond with them. Will you write the way into her heart? Find out on the Switch.
Metroid Dread. And its special edition, the fifth main installment of the Metroid series of action-adventure platformers, is now available for the Switch.
That's going to be so good. Back for Blood, co-op zombie FPS from the creators of Left 4 Dead. I know it's not the same game, but look, we put a 4 in the title for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S.
And Slender, The Arrival, a horror adventure game. Horror, by the way. It is the first official sequel to Slender the 8 Pages, and it is now available for the Android and iOS.
Ooh, we all have those.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Wayne Family Adventures, you know, DC and Webtoon's weekly comic that follows the adventures of Batman and his unruly children, only began publishing online a few weeks ago, but the Webtoon exclusive series quickly amassed the sort of gargantuan readership that traditional comic publishers dream about.
Oh, so they're going to celebrate with holographic chrome and variant covers?
Well, people are reading Wayne Family Adventures and liking what the series has to offer, all of which makes this latest bit surprising somewhat. As part of this year's Batman Day, DC has announced a live-action series of shorts adapted from Wayne Family Adventures, set to be produced by Ismahawk and debut in the production house's YouTube channel. News of a fully produced live-action adaptation of a weeks-old comic might be surprising, but DC's been working on the project for quite some time. It's already got a full cast and is just a few days away from premiering.
Holy secret, super secret premiere day, Batman!
Jonathan Bentley leads the cast as the head of Gotham's Bat family, who warmly welcomes newcomer Duke Thomas, Duchamp Fiction Stegel, a young metahuman, into their ranks soon after he begins patrolling the city of Bruce's kids, Dick Grayson, Yoshi Sudarso, as the most experienced working with and being raised by the Dark Knight, which is why it's easy for him to see the others like Jason Todd, Tim Neff, Tim Drake, Peter Sudarso, Damian Wayne, Carter Rockwood, as his younger siblings. Like the comic, the series will also include versions of Barbara Gordon, Lisa Foyles, Stephanie Brown, Megan Camarena, Cassidy Kane, Jim and Gwen, and Alfred Pennyworth, Marcus Weiss.
Yeah, but what about Aunt Harriet? She was in the comics.
Like the comic, the live-action series will be more comedic than action-based, as its focus is more on the Bat family's interpersonal dynamics and their downtime rather than their superheroics, which will immediately set it apart from other Bat-kid-obsessed projects like HBO Max's Titans, F. Batman. Whether Ismahawk will continue to put out more Wayne Family Adventure shorts beyond this first trio of episodes will depend on how well the videos perform after they debut mid-October. Just a few days away. If the comics are any indication, though, Wayne Family Adventures might be DC's next big thing that takes off in unexpected ways. And good. It's good for Bruce. It's about time you got to have mirth in the family.
If you play Fortnite, you know every character in the world is stopping by these days. Since it's October, it was only a matter of time before the classic Universal Monsters finally started to show up.
I hope at the end of the month you get Abbott and Costello skins.
Don't tease me. Fortnite will be rolling out the outfit reveals throughout the month, and a Fortnite Mare card we'll flip over to reveal which new item is entering the store next. This week, it was Universal's Frankenstein's Monster.
Personally, I can't wait till we limb someone and emote doing Dracula's reanimated Transylvania twist.
It's all part of the upcoming Fort Nightmare event, which features a themed map and a mix of new skins featuring original designs and collaborations with Universal's monster movies. A skin based on the Mummy is expected later in the month.
Wait. Are we talking Karloff Mummy or Tom Cruise's Mummy? Very important distinction.
This probably ties into the life-sized battle bus that has mysteriously appeared at Universal Studios Park in front of the CityWalk AMC. There's no word on just how many classic monsters will make it, but I really hope the creature from the Black Lagoon gets added, or maybe surprise us with the man-made monster.
Ooh, how about the Invisible Man?
I don't know. Just can't see it. You know, actually, they shouldn't. Because, see, that's the last thing I need. It's bad enough I can't track these 12-year-olds hopped up on Ritalin and Pixie Sticks while they're building and editing around me. The last thing I need is for them to be invisible. Or worse, them using a built-in emote on a Wolfman skin that just starts humping my leg.
Mining with Friends hit Deep Rock Galactic is the next video game to be turned into a board game. Deep Rock Galactic, the board game, will stick to the co-op format of the PC and Xbox game, with up to four players venturing into underground caves in search of valuable minerals and other such treasure. Along the way, the player's dwarven heroes will need to use their high-tech equipment to blast a way through the tunnel network and fend off the glyphid enemies they encounter.
Does it come with a recipe for Blackout Stout? Ooh, I better tip Lloyd.
Behind the tabletop adaptation's gameplay is Ole Stein, is the creator of Champions of Midgard, the well-received Viking worker placement board game released in 2015. Soren Lundgaard, CEO of developer Ghost Ship Games, gave an in-depth interview in the upcoming board game's gameplay in a post to Deep Rock Galactic's Steam blog, as well as discussing why now is the right time for a tabletop version of the 2018 Early Access title, which saw full release last year.
That's it, lads! Rockin' Stone!
Looking at how board games based on video games are received on Board Game Geek, it was clear that we shouldn't expect to create something that would rock the board game world, Lundgaard added. Getting restrained by an IP and trying our best to live up to expectations from the community does not always result in a masterpiece of design.
Obstacle? More like a granite smoothie once I'm done.
Lundgaard's overview of the board game's prototype, said to have been in development since the beginning of 2021, outlines a greater focus on combat than the video game, which, with efforts to center the gameplay on traversal and exploration, proving too fiddly.
It ain't a gun if it don't weigh at least 100 pounds. Time to turn some aliens into thin green paste.
Deep Rock Galactic, the board game, will be a dungeon crawler with players moving their characters around a hex grid on various map tiles. Similar to games such as Gloomhaven, players will be able to choose between the four character classes seen in the video games, Engineer, Gunner, Driller, Scout. The video game's freeform exploration, with players able to simply carve their way through walls and form unique environments, will be reflected in the ability to freely create tunnels and routes between the preformed cave layouts.
Last one to finish is a pointy-eared leaf lover.
Rock and Stone cards add layers of collaborative and roleplay depth and a one-shot style in-game progression system. Scenarios are designed as 1 to 2 hour standalone sessions that can be replayed due to randomized events, various mission types, and different map layouts, with character progression happening over the arc of an individual mission.
Yeah, I've got a grappling hook. What are you gonna do about it?
A Kickstarter for Deep Rock Galactic, the board game, is planned to launch in 2022. Now look, I know PRS loves the game, but I've never played it. I know it features Starship Trooper-like bugs, dwarves with ridiculous beards, and funny voice lines, but based on what he's told me about it and the upcoming board game, I think Carl would approve of this. Rockin' Stone!
Rockin' Stone in the heart, brother. Finally, Star Wars has revealed just how dangerous a dark side Luke Skywalker would be. The Tatooine farm boy with a thirst for adventure who learned he was the son of a Jedi Knight, Luke would prove that one man can change the history of an entire galaxy when he shot down the Death Star, and again when he successfully redeemed Darth Vader, leading the Sith apprentice to turn on his master. Luke is a legendary figure, renowned for his strength in the Force and his unshakable belief in the possibility of redemption.
And his bar tab at the club where the power converters danced.
Naturally, Star Wars fans have always wondered just what would happen if Luke Skywalker ever turned to the dark side. The old expanded universe toyed with the idea in the Dark Empire comics, in which Luke bent the knee before a resurrected emperor, but even then it didn't last long, with Luke himself redeemed by the love of his friends and family. That story isn't even canon anymore, with Disney declaring the expanded universe legends when they acquired Lucasfilm in 2012. The question still feels relatively unresolved.
No, the sacred texts!
Amusingly, the Star Wars special Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales actually provides an answer, albeit a non-canon one. It features an account of the Death Star's destruction by Darth Vader's twisted servant, Vinay, who turns the original Star Wars story on its head by telling a tale in which Luke Skywalker joined the Empire instead of the Rebellion. Power-hungry and eager for fame and celebrity, this version of Luke proved himself a skilled pilot and even earned the attention of Darth Vader himself. He became Darth Vader's apprentice, trained in the ways of the Force, and it was clear he had even more power than the man he did not know was his father. Ironically, Luke's story ended in the same way, when he fired a stray shot during the battle over the Death Star and accidentally obliterated it.
That doesn't sound like the dark side. It sounds like the derp side, or he's just a Sith for brains.
Of course, this is just a tall tale told in a Halloween special, but the really striking thing about the account by Darth Vader's servant Vinay is how easily it could have happened. Luke's dreams of seeing the galaxy were originally leading him to join the Empire, and in fact, in the first film, he fought with his uncle over whether it was time for him to enlist.
And it only took two orders of crispy Lars to change his mind.
Lucasfilm is increasingly diving into non-canon Star Wars stories, most notably with the superb Star Wars Visions animated series, and it's possible these can give viewers a better glimpse of a dark side Luke Skywalker. For now, though, LEGO Star Wars Terrifying Tales suggests he would be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he'd already either used or tried to use the dark side powers. Yeah, no, really. Force choking the Gamorrean guards at Jabba's palace? Mind controlling Bib Fortuna and trying to do the same on Jabba without their consent? Oh, never mind. He set up 3PO as a false god to the Ewoks. A good guy doesn't do that stuff, man.
Hackers have accessed Twitch and leaked a vast amount of company data, including proprietary code, creator payouts, and the entirety of Twitch.tv. Twitch confirmed the breach in a tweet, but did not provide further details.
Oh no, not all my sweet, sweet internet money.
On top of the Twitch.tv code, the attacker said they stole the site's mobile, desktop, and console Twitch clients. It also accessed proprietary SDKs and internal AWS services used by Twitch. Other properties like IGDB and CurseForge, an unreleased Steam competitor from Amazon Game Studios, codenamed Vapor, and Twitch SoC, internal red teaming tools. It also shows creator payouts from 2019 until now, including top streamers like Nick Merckx, Tim the Tatman, and XQC.
Some of them make millions. Frankly, good for them.
Although it hasn't been verified that the claim of the entirety of Twitch's source code has been leaked, the files in the 126-gig repository do appear to be genuine, and the payout figures for almost 2.4 million streamers seem to be present. The hacker said the leak, which includes source code for almost 6,000 internal GitHub repositories, is also just part one of a larger release.
What, are they going to make a hype video for part two?
It doesn't appear the information like user password addresses and banking information were revealed, but that can't be ruled out yet. Because in a future drop, could be. If you got a Twitch account, you should activate two-factor authentication so the bad actors can't log into your account if your password has been stolen. The group also stated that Twitch's community is a disgusting toxic cesspool. So the action may be related to recent hate raids that prompted streamers to take a day off in protest.
So they're gonna expose how much creators make? That'll show them.
It's not clear yet how attackers could have stolen such a large amount of data, especially considering that Twitch is owned by Amazon, which operates one of the largest web hosting companies in the world. But then after what happened with Facebook recently, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. GRT is like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google that. Wowzers, dude. Wowzers.
Yeah.
GRT, creative companies, music, numbers, on rivers, nice, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It doesn't change. It's just written down. I should read it instead of trying to remember it. It's just nonsensical of me. And if you agree with that statement or would like to make any other one at all, send us a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRT.
I mean, they even made Republican senators not talk about how Facebook was just after them. They were literally concerned about things. Weird!
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
This is no respectable establishment.
Good night, suckers!
I asked for an army and all I got was you. You were not enough.
Ever wish you could live your last week all over again? Well, my name's Frank P. Parker, and I do it all the time. I work for a secret government project experimenting in time travel. When things really get screwed up, I'm the guinea pig they send back to take care of it. Catch is, I can only go back 7 days.
You're about to be let in on a
on the most highly classified data America holds.
We have a device that can allow us to send one human being back in time.